You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
The number one pick in the NHL draft, but the minute can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's Lawrence Taylor!
Call him every trash, EMT for short. Wonder if we best once you peep the score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise to shine with 98.7. This is drop time, we provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
A new week is here. That is right. It is Monday. It is the 25th day of March. And you got yourself DNR, except no Dave. It is Dan with Rick here on 98.7 ESPN. Dan Grosser, Rick DiPietro. We got RJ. We got Ray. And we are hanging out with you for the next 4 hours at 800-919-3776. Rick, buddy, pal, I missed you. How you been?
I've been good, buddy. I missed you, too.
Real missing, like legit missing.
Legit missing.
Yearning, pining, like the whole thing.
Yeah, there were some days as, I mean, I'm thinking, you know, wouldn't it be nice today? A little Dan Grosser in my life.
Ooh.
And I got it for 4 days.
You got it for 4 days. Four big ones. And then the baseball season starts. How about that?
Yeah, we're going to have to do a lot of baseball this week. We got big baseball picks on Friday that they're making me do.
So there's some reservation from your side on that. You don't want to do the picks.
Oh, I'd never want to do picks, no.
Why?
I'm forced into it because I have crazy anxiety and I don't want to be wrong. So now they're forcing me to do baseball picks and Dave thinks it's funny.
Because but the people my whole need week. That. The people need
no,
that from you.
They do not need that
no,
from
No, I think
me.
That they do because no. You are an authority and they look to you for wisdom, guidance for the upcoming season and say, if Rick thinks this team is going to be good or bad, then that means something. You take it to the bank.
No. He wants to put me through stress. He wants there to be a winner and a loser. Someone's going to owe someone breakfast or brunch or dinner or whatever it is. So this is what I'm going to do. I'm taking you on my team. That's what I'm going to do.
Really?
Yeah, it's going to be me, you, and Santi versus Dave and RJ. That's how we're going to do it.
Well, it's funny you mention that because I was talking to RJ before the show, our little pre-show gathering where he and I are the only two souls that are awake and alive in this building probably when we both get in. And we were talking about just that, the baseball season predictions, because I had to go ahead and make them over the weekend for the baseball channel. And I didn't really put a lot of thought into it. I actually knocked it down in about 5-10 minutes, but I feel okay about it. I'm not going to give any away, though, because that's a tease, because we're going to do it later in the week, right?
Yeah, we're going to do it later in the week. See, I'm different than you. I will now spend the next 3 days. I'll ask every person that I know. RJ and Raymond will attest to this. I'll go down to the cafeteria. I'll ask them. Starbucks, I'll ask them. Anyone I see, I'll ask their opinion. And then by the end of it, I'll be so stressed out that I'll make the picks, and it'll keep me up probably for the rest of the baseball season.
Don't ask anybody at Starbucks. They have no idea what they're talking about when it comes to baseball.
I don't know.
No.
I don't know.
They're good with coffee, but not with baseball.
I'm telling you, listen, my insider banana person, very good with baseball.
Insider banana?
Yeah, the bananas are hard to come. But RJ, tell him how hard it is to get good bananas now.
Little potassium shortage in the country that I don't know about?
Yeah, we're in some kind of an issue. Somebody called a couple of weeks ago and said, like the dots that come on the bananas, like it's an issue right now. It's a pandemic, I think you used, a banana pandemic.
Yep.
Bananas are a big part. Bananas are a big part of the show, apparently.
Huge.
Yeah.
Huge. Rick, does it trouble you at all that he said he made his picks in 4 minutes?
A lot. Yeah. Quite a bit.
Yeah, but not. And look, I'm not trying to throw shade at Rick, but I follow the baseball offseason probably a little bit closer than Rick does because I have to. You know what I mean? So I'm kind of on top of this stuff regularly, so I kind of know the ins and outs and what's happening. Look, nobody knows what the hell's going to happen during the season, but as far as, like, how these teams are shaping up, like, I kind of do this on a weekly basis. So I'm not going to, you know, throw any water, cold water on him. You'll get your picks in, but don't stress out over it. I don't want you stressed.
Well, no, I don't think this is a matter of, like, not following the sport or paying attention to how the offseason is going. This is more of, it happens in anything that we pick that I have to pick. Any prediction that we have to make is no bueno for me. I don't love it.
Well, speaking of picks, how's your bracket right now through the first week of the NCAA tournament?
No, it's not great.
Not good at all?
No.
All right,
I mean, it's all right. It's not great, though, I don't think.
All right, not great. So tell me what is not – how many of your Final Four teams are still alive?
I have my entire Final Four.
Do you? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Good job. That's a good job.
Thank you.
Having four – see, I only have three because I lost Kentucky. I lost Kentucky in the first round. Bad job, John Calipari and company.
I lost Kentucky, too, but I didn't think defensively they'd be good enough, so I didn't have them going to the Final Four.
No, but they could score, and that's the thing. They could score like the Dickens, but they didn't score enough, unfortunately, and they got bounced by Oakland. And by the way, we had the coach on. I had the coach on Friday? Great guy, Greg Campy. I felt bad for those guys when they lost on Saturday. Overtime game, no less. You know, those kids were crushed at the end of the game, and he was a real, real good dude. And, you know, those are some of the cool storylines that show up every year when it comes to March. But all right, so you got your whole Final Four.
Yep.
How many, let me pull out my bracket here just to see what I still got going on. How many of your Elite Eight do you still have?
Ooh, that's a good question. I don't have my bracket in front of me.
That's good. There was a show today. I mean, maybe the bracket
We don't usually take brackets with us. That's the problem. And the way that Dave does it, the bracket that I filled out is on the my computer, or how I sent it to him. Maybe actually I could probably
have. So don't you have something in front of you at least?
Yeah, I have something in front of me. I know I had.
Is that from, hey Ray, is that from like a video game or something? That's what it sounds like.
Auburn losing to Yale is big for me.
That was a big one. And that, boy, Yale got crushed last night. Oh,
yeah, they
my
got
gosh.
Crushed last night. That was not good. And then I think Baylor losing yesterday.
To Clemson.
Maybe a problem for me also.
Yeah. I still have, let me see, the only, I have six of my Elite Eight. I had St. Mary's actually make it to the Elite Eight. They're gone. They didn't even make it through the first round because they got Grand Canyoned. They're gone, and Kentucky. So those are my only two of the Elite Eight that are gone. But I'm still in good shape. I mean, now, RJ made the point, and he's right. It has been kind of a chalky tournament so far through the first couple of rounds, which, look, it's to be expected, but all the trends that everybody kind of, all the nerds that throw out all these little factoids and tidbits before the tournament when you're filling out the bracket, like, oh, make sure you take a team seeded fifth or higher to get to the second weekend because 9 out of the last 13 years, a team seeded sixth or seventh made the final set. You know, all that stuff, you throw it out the window. Like, normally, like, a 2 seed doesn't make it to the second week of the tournament. Well, guess what? All the ones and all the twos are there.
Yeah, don't let RJ fool you with what's happening right now. Currently with the show, I think RJ has he's the best bracket for the show right now.
RJ, is that what it is? Is this a plot? Is it a conspiracy?
I feel pretty good about where I'm at.
Yeah,
I mean,
you do.
There's one weekend down. We all have all our champs left.
Right.
Dave took some very nasty shots at people in the emails.
He did.
And I'm happy with where I'm at after weekend one.
Who's your Final Four?
In that one, I have UConn, Arizona, Creighton, and I forget who's in the upper right.
See, there he is. Yeah, I have Creighton. I have Creighton in the national championship game, and boy,
really?
Did they get a scare on Saturday. Did anybody watch the end of that one, the Creighton-Oregon game that went 2 overtimes? Wow.
I didn't realize you had Creighton going that far.
I mean, they're a good team. I mean, they waxed UConn earlier this year. You know, and how about the Big East? The Big East, who the committee wanted no part of during the selection process, they only allowed 3 teams in. You know what the only conference to be undefeated so far in this NCAA tournament is, Rick?
Let me guess, the Big East?
Nah, you bet your ass they are.
There we go.
And you know what? It's not correct. And I said, when the bracket came out, I said, you got 3 teams in. All 3 of them could easily make the Final Four, and it might happen. Who knows? It might happen. Marquette's path, think about how Marquette's path opened up here because of the upsets. Marquette had to play a 10 seed in Colorado in the second round. Now they play an 11 seed in NC State in the Sweet 16. And NC State is, I guess what, the highest remaining seed in this tournament. They're the only double-digit seed still left.
What a run for NC State, though.
Yeah, it's crazy. You think about NC State, and look, they had to get hot, right? They had to win the conference tournament in the ACC. That was the only way they were getting in. I saw something. They won, including the game that they won this weekend, they've won 7 games in 12 days. Prior to that, it took them 65 days to win 7 games. How about that?
Yeah, I actually almost thought that when they went, what did they win, 5 games in 5 days?
Yeah.
That they would be, they could potentially be worn out. So I had NC State losing in the first round. That's another one that hurt.
So did
me.
I.
Yeah.
And you, because you never know with those things. Like, teams that get hot like that, you know, that they have to essentially save their season to win a conference tournament. You don't know if they're going to have anything left in the tank when it starts for real. I'm right there with you. But some use it as fuel. I mean, we saw UConn win a national championship that way with Kemba Walker once upon a time when they won the Big East tournament and then went all the way and won a championship out of it. But some teams it works for, some teams it doesn't. But, I mean, we haven't had... Like, I mean, we've had some exciting finishes. I don't think that we've had so far over the first two rounds. You know, we've had the occasional upset here, but we still have yet to have that all-time instant classic game, so to speak.
No, not yet. I mean, not yet. But I think, I mean, my favorite part of this tournament is, because it's not, I mean, call it what it is, though, dude. I mean, especially in crunch time, is some bad basketball being played. I mean, turnovers, missed free throws, you name it. But it's just, it's the opportunity to see some of these kids, like you mentioned, who's the coach we were talking about?
Were we talking about a coach?
Greg Campy.
Greg Campy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And the RJ brought it up to the shot chart. I think Dave asked me the question. He had like 10 threes. He's doing TurboTax commercials from from the hotel. You know what I mean? And then he's taken, oh, you know, 300 and whatever threes and only 8 2-point shots the entire season. It's like stories like that that you don't. You're not really paying attention to, but just because there's so much else going on that you get a chance to see during one of these tournaments and get to know these kids. It's pretty that's the special part for me.
You know, it's cool. When we had Coach Campy on Friday, and he played college football, as a matter of fact, at Bowling Green. He holds the school record for longest. He was a punter. Longest punt in school history. He had a 77-yard punt during his college days. How about that?
See, that's stuff that you get to learn that you'd otherwise have no idea about.
You're damn right. You're damn right.
What an investigative reporter you are. What a journalist.
Well, I do my homework. You know?
Look at you.
I know that's not popular to some people, but I still believe in the old-fashioned way of doing things, actually doing some work. You know what I mean? Never hurts anybody.
You see, this is why you have the big house with all the rooms that you don't even know about.
Exactly.
You really need
all
that.
Can't even count them.
Right.
Can't even count them. So, we take a breather from the NCAA tournament here over the next few days. And, you know, as we get closer to Thursday. And you know what's funny real quick, though? So, now we're down to the Sweet 16, Thursday and Friday. People are shocked, Rick. Like, I saw this on Twitter last night. Once the NCAA and, you know, the, I don't know, whatever, TV, CBS, Turner, whatever, they released the broadcast schedule for Thursday and Friday night. People are just absolutely shocked that there are going to be games on Thursday and Friday that are going to be tipping off past 10 o'clock on the East Coast. Like, duh, where have you been? I mean, you may not like it, but this is the way the schedule has been with this tournament, at least probably for the last 10 years. Like, why should this come as a shock to anybody? The games on, like, the last game on Saturday didn't end till 1 o'clock in the morning. Last night, they didn't wrap up until almost 12:30. This shouldn't surprise people.
Yeah, but we don't like it. I mean, you just said it. It doesn't surprise you, but you still don't like it, and you'll complain about it.
Well, not. I mean, I'm going to watch it regardless, but the best game that I'm looking forward to out of the eight that we have left here on Thursday and Friday is the last one to be played. Out of the eight. That's Creighton, Tennessee, and that'll tip off after 10 o'clock on Friday night.
Well, of course it is, because you have Creighton going to the...
You're damn right.
Yeah, right. So, of course you're going to be paying attention.
Right.
Well, you know, listen, we wouldn't be the only ones complaining. I mean, Matt Painter was talking about it, just how the games are, like, the times that the games are being scheduled at. He's like, people aren't even in their seats yet.
You know what I didn't understand either? With the scheduling, which is a little weird, I think it was either... It was Saturday, right? Or Saturday... Whenever they had... It was a late game, but it was on the East Coast. Like, why did they schedule the East Coast venues to be the ones starting the latest? So, like, there was that Oregon-Creighton game was, I'm trying to remember where the hell the game was played. Standby. That was in...
It's in the Midwest region.
Indianapolis. No, not Indianapolis. Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
It was in Pittsburgh. So that game didn't wrap up until, you know, like almost 1 o'clock in the morning. Like, why did you schedule a game on the East Coast to be played that late at night? Like, have the West Coast venues or something like that to be played later in the day. There were people, like, they were showing people in the stands, and that was a double overtime exciting game. They were yawning. They were just trying to stay awake.
Yeah, that's tough. You gotta love it at that point.
I mean, kids' parents. I mean, they missed, you know, Jimmy and Johnny missing a free throw because they were sound asleep.
Yeah, that's tough, though. Maybe that's a good thing, actually.
What, did he miss that they didn't see him make the free
watch trip? A kid get all clenched up in overtime. You see that, Mom? No, I was actually taking a quick nap trying to get through this thing.
From superchargers, exhaust kits, and more, eBay Motors has over 122 million parts to keep your ride or die alive. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to bring home that win. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. So tell me what else you did this. What did you watch this weekend aside from the NCAA tournament? Were you watching some Knicks? Were you watching some hockey? Spring training baseball? What was eating up your sports palate this weekend?
I tried to watch it all. Actually, I would have sprinkled in a movie this weekend.
What movie?
Well, that's because Dave was all upset on Friday. Him and I think RJ was upset too. Why would you make Roadhouse again? And I said, why don't you just take a breath, relax, watch it. Maybe it's entertaining. Got a text message during the show. My dad watched it. He said it wasn't the original, but it was, I mean, it was entertaining, fighting, the whole thing. So I was like, you know what? Let me check it out. It wasn't bad.
Really?
It was not bad. Good fight scenes. Didn't love how it ended, but for the most, I mean, it's not the original, but it was fine.
This might surprise you, but guess what? That was also a subject of RJ and mine's conversation before the show started.
And neither of you have seen it, have you?
No, he watched it. RJ watched it.
Oh, RJ watched it.
Because he said it. I said, really? And RJ gave it pretty positive reviews, right?
Yeah, I went in with an open mind. I mean, no one's as cool as Patrick Swayze. Like, no. That's I mean, if you need any reminder. I think Gyllenhaal does a nice job, though. And I actually like Conor McGregor in it. I mean, he kind of plays himself. I don't want to give too much away. But I thought it was good.
It was perfectly cast for him.
Oh, that is, yeah, that's
it
the
feels
role.
Like that's him.
And he'll be in more movies.
Did Conor McGregor go to the Lee Strasberg Institute to prepare for this role or no?
No, he just pretty much is like a juiced up version of himself.
Yeah, he's himself.
Did he keep the Irish accent?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was in there.
Yeah, it was in there. It was good. He's walking around naked. Like, he was good. Everyone was good. It was just, I mean, it's... A lot of people are like, why would you...
I hit you, you fall.
But I thought it was all right.
RJ
to cleanse the palate after the Islanders losing to the Devils.
How do you lose to the Devils?
Well, you run into each other. Just, I mean...
How do you lose to the Devils?
That was bad.
Did you saw that?
That was
grotesque.
Not good.
No, it was not good. Like a skit, like three guys running into each other right down the other end.
Right after they get waxed the night before at home by the powerhouse Ottawa Senators, the Devils. Go out to Long Island and beat you guys. Come on.
We just have a big win. I mean, we have a big win. We need all these games. Big win against the Jets, and then we get shut out by the Devils.
Isn't it amazing, too, Winnipeg? So Winnipeg comes out here, right? They play the three area locals. The only team they beat is the best of the bunch, the Rangers, and they lose to the Islanders, they lose to the Devils. Go figure it out.
Well, I think that was the one that they probably circled, because the same conversation, I mean, there's conversations about, I don't want to get into the Jets, but there are a lot of people that don't think the Jets are good enough to beat legitimate teams. So that Rangers game was an opportunity for them to show everyone that we can play against one of the best teams in the NHL, which they did, and now they play two not-so-good teams and find ways to lose. Plus, it's towards the end of their road trip. I don't know. We'll talk some hockey today. I'm actually pretty I'm pretty impressed with what the Rangers have been. I've been impressed with what the Rangers are doing, but just a couple things that I think will play well once they get into the playoffs.
That was a fun one on Saturday night too, with the Florida Panthers shootout. That was tremendous. Good win, like you said. And hey, hockey playoffs, basketball playoffs, right around the corner. We're going to talk about it all this morning.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Cher's in the house. Look at that. On a Monday morning. Didn't expect to see that or hear that.
Raymond knew what he was doing. Raymond knew exactly what he was doing. He knows that I can't, every time he plays that, I can't not sing it.
It's just, it's one of those things that's infectious. It just eats at you. You have to do it.
I did it a couple.
Take back and you'd say,
is that me or Cher? Who knows?
Can we play a game on this show one day, like Rick or Cher?
I can't even tell the difference.
Right, that's what, it'd be fun, and we could give away like prizes and stuff.
Yeah, do we have prizes?
Say!
RJ, do we have any prizes?
Not a single
anything.
One. Nope, no prizes.
Do we have a coffee cup? Well, I shouldn't say that.
That's touchy. That's very touchy.
What happened last time? Come on.
I was like, do we have a coffee cup lying around? Well, we know how that worked out the last time because apparently we did, and somebody decided to make it their own.
I'm sure someone has a beautiful game used RJ Santillo Yeti somewhere that they stole.
Do you think the guilty conscience part of that has taken over that person, whoever it is?
No, because I mean, if it's on his desk,
yeah,
and you know it's RJ's desk, there's no one else in there, and somebody just walk up and swipe his Yeti, then yeah, you don't care.
I'll tell you, but RJ got the better end of that trade-off because right now he's got that swivel right now, which is tremendous looking.
Yeah, my nice sharp hat.
The sharp hat.
I'll tell you what, though, I hope whoever did take it, I hope the karmic gods have gotten back to you. I hope you're serving time in federal prison right now. You deserve it.
Wow.
Are those the coffee gods?
Right after the feds get done with Otani, they're coming after you.
Maybe it was Ipe that stole it.
You know what?
You don't know.
He lied about where he went to college. Right. So anything's on the table.
Yeah, didn't work for the Red Sox. And, you know, let's talk about that because, you know, I should have brought that up in the first little moment of the show. And by the way, this is DNR right here on 98.7 ESPN. Dave's off. Dan's in. Hanging out with Rick, RJ, and Ray. So Otani's going to speak today, which is a very loaded sentiment to begin with because we really have not heard much from Otani since he's been in Major League Baseball. Like, really, when this thing hit a few days ago, Rick, my thing was, well, how do we know anything at all about Otani? Like, we've barely heard him speak. And how is this going to operate today?
Well, no, I mean, that's the thing. We were talking about that when this whole thing broke down. It's like, we didn't even know he had a girlfriend, let alone he just ended up married. Like, oh, hey, by the way, Otani just got married. Like, well, you don't know anything about the guy.
Well, did you see, I think it was Bob Nightingale, USA Today. He wrote something, it was either Friday, Saturday, I can't remember, but he was checking in with the Angels, his old club in Arizona at spring training. And he was talking to guys in that clubhouse, and they were like, we saw you got married. He's like, we didn't even know he had a girlfriend.
Right.
And they were with this guy every single day.
Yeah, all we really know about him is just how good he is at baseball and how routine-oriented he is. Like there is he has, you know, things that he needs to do and he's very routine oriented and they kind of give him the leeway, or at least they didn't with the Angels, the leeway to do all those things. And then he's had this guy, you know, he's had Ipe since he got to the States and they're inseparable. I've heard it described as a brotherhood. Now, I mean, there's a report too that was, I forget what the guy's name is, saying that, you know, he has a source, he has connections that it's definitely Otani and it's not 4.5, it's closer to like 25 million or something crazy like that. So I don't know, this whole thing, man, it just seems, the whole thing is sketchy to begin with, but how quickly the story changed for us when we were talking about this, like on the, you, my, and we haven't done the show together since this thing happened, but my whole thing was, it was his people that set the meeting up with Ipe and ESPN on Tuesday and gave him, he was given to ESPN by Otani's people for a 90-minute interview. Like, are you so bad at your job that you don't know what he's going to say in those 90 minutes? Like, why would you put him in that spot to tell a story that you didn't want told, that you had to retract it on Wednesday and go from, you know, Otani's just a good guy helping his buddy, didn't want to ask him, bailed him out, and that was it, to now, no, this was a massive theft. He stole the 4.5. Otani had no clue what was going on.
And if you're Otani, like, if they want us to believe that Otani is the pawn in this entire game, that he had no idea what Ipe was up to. So you mean to tell me that for how many years these guys coexisted, they spent upwards of sometimes 20 hours a day with one another, right? I mean, that's what we were told. 20 hours a day with the person, and yet you have no idea that this type of activity is going on, and oh, by the way, he's dipping into your funds to support a gambling habit?
Yeah, that you're just oblivious to this.
Right.
I mean, I guess they want you to believe that because he's just so uber focused on what he's doing that he wasn't really paying attention to, you know, what Ipe was doing. But I don't know, man. If he's your best friend, he's, I mean, like your brother. I mean, you're probably interested in, you know, things going on in his life or what he's up to, especially if you're with him all that time. I just don't understand how you're wiring that kind of money, like wire transferring that kind of money from Ohtani's account, unless he trusted him that, you know, that much that they had, he had a way to get into his account. I don't know. The whole thing doesn't make much sense to me. It seems sketchy to begin with, but hopefully we'll get more and more information here, try to figure out what actually went took place.
I don't think you're getting anything today. I mean,
no.
And if you think, and I'll tell you, by the way, how about a first act for Ohtani's new interpreter? Like this setting, because the whole baseball world is going to be tuned into this. RJ, do we have a time, by the way? Probably not, right? I know they're out in California because they played the Dodgers last night at Dodger Stadium, or the Dodgers played last night at Dodger Stadium. So it's somewhere out there. They left spring training. So you got to think that it's not going to happen until 4 p.m. on our time, just to ballpark. But imagine this interpreter, and this, I don't know if he's auditioning for the job. I don't know if he's going to get the job, but all eyes are going to be on you. Talk about being thrown right into the fire here, right?
Yeah, this is going to be a tough one. I mean, this is right into the, right under the microscope for whatever is going to be said.
But you're getting nothing. You're getting absolutely nothing today, because he's going to be like, it's a legal matter. I was advised not to talk about it. There's an investigation going on, and I'm going to let the investigation play itself out. You're just going to get a lot of gobbledygook when it comes to this today. That's it.
Yeah, right. Kind of what you got from the Dodgers.
That's
the biggest star in baseball, man. I mean, this is the last thing that Major League Baseball wants to be dealing with right now.
But don't you think that that's an issue? And look, we can sit here and do an 8-hour show on baseball and where it is right now and where it came from and where it's going. But in a sport that is an entertainment source more than anything else, where you're trying to market and sell your best players in order to engage fans and to bring in revenue ultimately, your best player, your most transcendent talent is somebody that most fans have no knowledge of him at all. Because he doesn't really have a great personality. We don't hear him talk. I mean, I understand that he's not from here, and that complicates things with the language barrier, and he's got an interpreter and everything. But how can you market a sport when your biggest superstar is somebody that is not really all that marketable, at least here?
Well, no. I mean, even talk about free agency, right? I mean, the biggest star in the sport, and we're not going to talk about free agency. Like, I mean, in a sport that struggles with free agency anyway, I mean, you're talking about how long it takes to get these guys signed. Best, you know, how long it took to get the, you know, Cy Young winner signed. Jordan Montgomery's still out there. Like, this is not the most exciting free agent frenzy in sports.
No.
And your biggest star wanted nothing to do with it. Yeah, I'll let you know when I decide I'm going to sign. Okay, thanks.
Right. You have free agents, like you said, the biggest free agents in the sport who have been on the market for 4 months. Fast forward to the beginning of NFL free agency. Those guys come off the board before some of the baseball free agents. And those guys got a 4-month head start. That's not good for the sport. You know, the fact that the Mets make a pretty big signing over the last few days. And look, I think it's great. I wanted J.D. Martinez all along. But the fact that you sign a J.D. Martinez, and for people that are going to brave the elements and go on out to Citi Field on Thursday for opening day, you're not even going to get a chance to see J.D. If you buy tickets for the Mets' first homestand and sit in that crap weather at Citi Field, you're not even going to see J.D. Martinez, because now he's got to go down to extended spring training and get in shape for probably the next 2 weeks.
Well, right, because they were waiting for it to get to, I mean, such a good deal where they couldn't not do it, right? Where they were going to deviate from the plan, which is we don't want to take away from, you know, young players at bats. JD Martinez is strictly a DH until, you know, you get the, you know, you get the deal that you get where he's deferring money to, you know, 2034. Okay, now it makes sense. Which is actually the one part I don't like about this whole thing, but I'm with you. I always thought that they needed another bat in that lineup if they wanted any chance of trying to sniff at a wild card.
Well, no, I'm not getting on the Mets and their plan. Like, we're in agreement there. But my point is just, like, as far as the market itself playing out with baseball, like, that's not good. Where you have, like, these big names who were free agents and were supposed to dominate a part of the sports calendar where baseball isn't exactly first and foremost. Like, could you imagine, for example, you know, the NFL draft is about a month away, and that gets all the headlines. And, you know, the number one pick in the draft or something. Can you imagine, let's say, you know, Caleb Williams, number one pick, Chicago Bears. Can you imagine week one, if you're a Bears fan, you go to Soldier Field, you get ready to watch the Bears play, And Caleb Williams might not play just because he's not in shape yet. Or you know what I mean? Like, your biggest acquisition in the offseason isn't going to be there on opening day because he's not ready yet. You know, that's what stinks about it. And these guys are taking far too long to come off the board in free agency and to get signed. That's not good for engaging fans. It's just not.
No, it's not. But I've been told by people that baseball doesn't mind it because they continue to be a source of conversation. Like, we'll keep talking about, why is Blake Snell not signed? The Yankees should sign Blake Snell, especially with Gerrit Cole. Why is no one signing Jordan Montgomery? So at least they stay part of the conversation. But that's not a conversation I enjoy having. I like let's get the best players out there. Let's get them signed, get people excited. That's the way I like to do it, but that's not what baseball has done.
There's another angle to this Ohtani thing. I want to get your thoughts on it, because I'll give you mine. As far as Major League Baseball and their handling of it, let's talk about that and want to hear from you at 800-919-3776. It's DNR, Dan and Rick, 98.7 ESPN.
Thank you, Raymond. Of course, I'm on my bracket like a wagon. Don't do that. That's not nice at all. You know that's not nice.
Just a wagon?
Well, whatever. Say goodbye to busted brackets, because FanDuel, they're going to let you bet on every game of the tourney, whether you're betting on a big upset or a one seed. It's time to go dancing on America's number one sportsbook. Right now, new customers get $200 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. So whether you're still riding the UConn Huskies to repeat as champs, or maybe you're a believer in NC State, whichever team you like, there's $200 to use on point spreads, money lines. You can even pick who's going to win it all. Just visit FanDuel.com/Rick and bet on college hoops until they cut down the nets. Must be 21 and older and physically present in New York. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. For help with a gambling problem, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY at 467-369.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
We'll hear from the Jet coach in about an hour. He and the other AFC coaches are going to be speaking in a kind of like a communal breakfast setting.
Oh, nice.
Down in Florida. You see how they do that? They each, like, you know, you enter like the hotel ballroom, like if you're going to like a wedding reception or something. Everybody has a table, you know, and you try to see where your assigned seat is. Well, each of the coaches have a table, you know, with the placard there, and then all the media just like hovers around said table, depending on who you want to talk to, and you get the dirt from the coaches. That's how it is.
I like it. Just easily accessible.
Yeah, that's, you know, and we'll see if we get any good information, though, more than anything else. And certainly everybody wants to hear what Robert Saleh has to say. The Giant coach, Brian Daboll, will talk tomorrow. That is when the NFC coaches have at it there. But we're talking a little baseball now. The Shohei Ohtani thing, he's going to talk later on today and field questions from the media. Who knows where that is going? But if you're Major League Baseball, right, I was thinking about this. If you're Major League Baseball, is this not the worst nightmare that you could possibly have a week before your season starts? Like, you can imagine every marketing tool, every commercial, every promo that baseball has put together with the lead up to opening day, I'm sure has Shohei Ohtani prominently featured on it. Wouldn't you think?
You would think, yeah.
So now how do you go and run those with good conscience, given the fact that he is now the subject of a federal investigation, which may or may not lead to him having involvement in illegal gambling?
Well, I mean, I think they probably still will.
You think?
Yeah, I mean, I think they probably, I mean, until, what I didn't like initially too was like MLB's like, no, you know, we're not going to invest. What do you mean you're not going to investigate it? Well, it's, you know, it's a federal investigation. Okay, fine. But it's the biggest star in your sport. You have to find out if he's, you know, more involved than he's telling you, what the possible ramifications are going to be for this. Are we going to have to suspend this guy? Are we going to have to fine this guy? What is this? I mean, what is this all going to lead to? Because you're right. I mean, you don't want to end up having an egg on your face if, you know, you're doing what you would normally do as far as, you know, marketing Shohei Ohtani, and then it turns out, you know, this story was a lie. It wasn't the translator. It was him. But listen, man, I mean, from the onset of this thing, when I heard when I heard the story and I read into the story and then how the whole thing changed, and then that was this big pivot from his lawyers that he was, you know, it was a massive theft. By the time I was done reading through all this stuff and gathering all the information, I was like 80% Shohei was just being a good guy. This guy got wrapped up, you know, his interpreter got wrapped up with the illegal book, has a gambling problem, and, you know, he wanted to do him a solid, and he took care of the debt. By the time this thing was over, I think like by the end of Friday when we were doing the show, I was like, I don't know, maybe I think maybe this was Shohei was the one making the bets.
Mm-hmm.
That's how poorly it was handled by his people.
Right. But I mean, if you're baseball, they were afraid to dip their toe in the water even as far as handling this. Like, why did it take almost 48 hours for them to summon the DOI, the Department of Investigation, to look into this? Why? Because it's their biggest star. And what they wanted to do was they wanted to pull the covers over their head and pretend that this thing didn't even happen because it is their biggest star. And if you have your biggest star tied to illegal gambling potentially days before your season's over, and look, I love baseball, you love baseball, right? We watch the damn sport every single day. But the fact of the matter is that not everybody operates like you and I do. You know, there's 162 games. A lot of people think that it's too many, right? We watch every day, but the casual fan, they may only jump in to watch baseball on a select few dates throughout the long regular season. One of them is generally opening day. People are going to be locked in opening day, and it's going to get its part of the so-called sports page and sports section, maybe that it doesn't get the rest of the season. So if this is going to be the biggest story around baseball, the governing body in the sport itself, Rick, they don't want any part of this. You know, the first Sunday night baseball game with our company, ESPN on Sunday night, guess who it is? Duh, it's Cardinals-Dodgers. Now, are they just going to pretend that this Shohei Ohtani thing is not even happening? Like, when Shohei comes up to bat for his first AB, is Carl Ravitch and Buster and Eduardo Perez, are they going to be sitting there talking about, you know, Shohei's splits against right-handers when he was with the Angels and all this other stuff that has to do with baseball? Or are they just going to completely ignore the fact that this guy might have been doing something that's illegal?
Well, isn't that kind of what, I mean, Major League Baseball has done, though? I mean, and you said it. It's like, you know, pull the covers over your head and just hope this whole thing turns out well for, you know, Ohtani, and then because Ohtani is, you know, cleared or whatever, the league looks okay. But still, like, what you said also is part of the bigger problem with baseball is I love it, you love it, but it's, I mean, it's 162 games. You have the diehards like us that are going to watch every one of these games. I think it's probably why they felt so comfortable opening the season up in Korea, right? Can you imagine you're a Dodgers fan? And Dave was like so turned off by this. You know, 3 a.m. start. You got the, you know, biggest star in the sport.
Yeah.
Biggest offseason when they, you know, Yamamoto's going to pitch in that second game, and he's not been good at all for them. But still, like, first game for Shohei Ohtani on a new team, and you got to, you know, at 3 o'clock in the morning, if you're a Dodgers fan, turn this thing on. I'm like, I try to explain to Dave, like, those people, they already have those people. They're not concerned about those people. Those diehard Dodger fans, they're going to watch it regardless. It's the other, like, they're trying to create a bigger market for baseball that's struggling right now. And to have, you know, the start of your season, which, I mean, for a lot of people, opening day, that's a huge deal for a lot of people. And the biggest story in your sport is a negative story about your best player. That's not one of those any publicity is good publicity things. This is not good for Major League Baseball at all.
No, it totally isn't. And look, baseball, here's the fact of the matter. From when you and I were growing up, baseball has trended more to become a local regional sport,
yep,
as opposed to a national game. Right? It used to be the national pastime, and, you know, people would have working knowledge of what was happening with other teams around the sport just because that was the number one sport in America, right? Every, you know, the All-Star game, the playoffs, the World Series, people were locked in. Those were the biggest sporting events that you had to deal with. That's not the case anymore. Not even close, right? And look, you could say it's unfortunate or whatever, but now if you're the sport, you are just looking for different ways to be able to get your attention across what is now a very, very competitive sports marketplace, is it not? I mean, even talk about just trying to get new people to come to the ballpark, you know, to compete for that entertainment dollar. That's a challenge.
Well, I think you got to, like, all these sports are trying to do the same thing. I mean, football has it. That's why football is king, is to get people to watch other teams besides their own, because there's a real chance that at some point your team isn't in it. And then you kind of disengage and you're not really paying attention to the sport anymore. So, I mean, give us reasons to watch other teams play. And Shohei Ohtani is at the top of that list. Like, you be a Yankees fan or a Mets fan, but you're interested to see Shohei Ohtani when he pitches and he hits. Like, he's one of those special athletes that, is must-see TV, and there's not many of those. In a sport where you go watch your favorite, I mean, that's the other thing, too. You go into these games, and you're making the financial commitment, time, all those things that you have to do to go to one of these games, and, you know, you'll see your best player, what? You know, whoever your best player is, you know, hit four times, maybe make a couple plays in the field if you're lucky.
Right.
Like, it's just, it's a big commitment, and there aren't a lot of people now that, I mean, that want to do that when you said that, I mean, there's so many other options now.
Well, do your kids find baseball exciting?
Exciting? No. My son enjoys playing it, which is fortunate, and they do like going to games, but I wouldn't say it's of the sports he plays, he's the one he finds most exciting, no.
And that's changed, right? That's something that is different from when we were kids growing up, because nowadays kids would rather do other things. They would rather, you know, for instance, soccer, even lacrosse has become a lot more popular to kids because you're always moving. You're always in action. Baseball, let's face it, it's a lot of standing around. Is it not?
Yeah, it's hard, man.
It's standing around, passing time. You know, it's exciting when you come up at bat, but if you're standing in the field, they don't hit the ball to you. It's boring. You're staring into outer space. It's tough for kids nowadays. And you know, the other part of this, too, and I get it. I'm not naive. I understand this is what makes the world go round nowadays. It's look, what we do. 5 minutes ago, you just read a spot for a betting thing, right?
Yeah.
All of these sports are in bed with these gambling sites now. Every single one of them. Okay, Major League Baseball, they require teams, Rick, to submit their lineups to BetMGM before they go anyplace else. Think about that for a second. Okay, they require teams to submit their lineup to BetMGM. If that is the case, and it's not just baseball, but it's with the other sports as well who are all gotten into bed with this, you mean to tell me that if you dangle the carrot in front of people who are employees of teams and of these sports, that not one of them is eventually going to go off the beaten path and maybe do something that they shouldn't be doing as far as gambling is concerned?
No, of course it's going to happen.
With all the money that they're raking in as it is and the money that they have as far as disposable to do whatever the hell they want, you mean to tell me that that's not going to happen? Of course it is.
Well, of course it's going to happen. I mean, just look at how many people are involved in sports, though. And we all recognize that gambling is an addiction, right? So just probably percentages would tell you that there's going to be multiple people in sports that are addicted to gambling and could potentially make bad decisions. That's the other thing with this whole story, too, is, and we'll, again, who knows if we'll ever find out or when we do find out, but like the thought for me that, let's just say it was the translator who has access to everything, right? He's with Ohtani. Anything Ohtani does, best player in sports, right? Ipe's with him, correct?
Mm-hmm.
In the clubhouse, he gets the behind-the-scenes look that every professional gambler would kill for, right? Like all the inside knowledge, you know, this guy's dealing with this guy's dealing with like all that stuff that you could use to your benefit. I have a hard time believing that once you start getting in the hole, and it was reported that from the time he met him in 21 to the end of 2022, he was already, you know, a million plus in the hole, that at some point out of sheer desperation to try to win, that you wouldn't bet the sport that you know the most to give yourself the best opportunity to win some of this money back. I have a hard time believing that. Say we want NFL, international soccer, everything else, but I'm down a million and a half, and I don't want to go. I'm going off the first story when I'm saying this, and I don't want to go to the guy, you know, my best buddy, who's taking me over here and say, hey, I need a million and a half. I'm going to win some of this stuff back that I wouldn't all of a sudden now start betting the sport that I have the best knowledge of. Come on, man.
So if I had to ask you right now, and look, maybe we don't know all the facts yet. We probably don't, right? That's what this investigation is for. But if I had to ask you right now, what do you think is the most logical outcome or explanation of what happened here? Do you believe, like, the first story that's being reported, that this guy, the interpreter, was the degenerate gambler, and that Shohei Ohtani is the most naive, the most gullible, the most, I don't care about anything that happens in my life outside of baseball, and I have no hands-on dealings with any of that stuff? Is that the direction you're following right now?
No, initially, that's what I thought. Initially, I thought, I believe the first story, or parts of the first story, that this guy got himself.
Because that's what they want you to believe.
Right, but that's exactly what you just said, which is why all of a sudden now, I've almost turned to where I think it was actually Ohtani that was the one making the bets. Because why else would you allow his translator to sit down with ESPN for 90 minutes and give the story that he gave? Right? Like, why would you do that? Why would you set that up?
Right.
You mean to tell me you're going to let this guy on his, like, without asking him what the story was, just go on with ESPN for 90 minutes and they can write a story, unless it was the story that you wanted told? that paints Ohtani as a, hey, you know, I'm just trying to do him a solid. I said, yeah, I'll give you this money, but never again. We'll sit down. I don't trust you with the money, so we'll wire it from here, and we're done with it. To all of a sudden now, Wednesday, story can't come out. Like, what did they learn? Why was there, like, why was their sense of panic? Like, whoa, that story wasn't a good story.
Well, the money laundering, too. The sending the money with the, that's right. The other thing that sends up the red flags. And you can't tell me, I don't care how much access that Ipe had. Okay, I don't care how much time he spent with him, you know, whether he did his laundry, his groceries, he knew all the passwords for the security at the alarm. I don't care. You're not going to be able to wire that much money and to be able to have all that access and then for it to just go through seamlessly without Shohei Ohtani knowing anything. Like, this isn't just like you're, you know, Venmoing, you know, Ray $10 for coffee or something and just click, click, and that's it. We're talking about several million dollars here.
Yeah, right. Four and a half that we know about.
That we know about.
And we got the two, I mean, they have the two wire transfers for $500,000 each with his name on it. See, that's, again, it almost feels like now.
It has to be authorized, doesn't it? I mean, from the person himself, unless this guy is like the con artist of the century and was able to pull this off.
Right. And that's, we don't know that for sure yet, just because of some of the stuff where he went to school. Did he work for the Red Sox? They say no. Like, some of that stuff now is are more red flags. But it almost feels to me now, having gone through the, you know, weekend and all the other information, is that it feels like if this was, again, if this was me and I was Shohei Ohtani, first and foremost, guy comes to me and says, hey, I need $4.5 million. I'm in the debt, illegal book, whatever it is. Maybe there's some miscommunication. I have spokespeople. I have lawyers. Like, how many people do you think work for Shohei Ohtani?
On the payroll?
Like, you wouldn't pick up the phone and be like, hey, I want to help this guy out, but how should we do this? Right? I'm not just going to give you, I'm like, oh, hey, what? Oh, four and a half? Yeah, no problem. Here, let me wire the money. No, like, I personally would be like, no, there's, we need to figure out how we're going to do this. I want to help you. I'm going to help you, but we have to do this the right way. That's the first part. Second part is this. Why, again, would you allow this guy to tell the story unless that was the story you want told to you, realized when you talked to his lawyers that there were also now things done wrong by, like, Ohtani was still going to get in trouble with your initial story. Like, by wiring the illegal bookmaker the $4.5 million, he was also in some way going to be implicated negatively in the story. That's why you would pivot to, oh, no, 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 sorry, that's not the real story. Ipe stole all the money. To just, so now Ohtani is the victim and has nothing to do with any of the original crime, mistake, whatever you want to call it.
Maybe it's a silver lining that he didn't sign with the Mets or the Yankees in free agency. Then they would be tied up in all this garbage and not knowing what the outcome is going to be potentially. You know, if he's somebody that's going to have to be the subject of a real long suspension, you know, maybe in a good way that it isn't so bad that he's not playing baseball in New York. But we'll see how it unfolds. He talks later on today, and we're going to be reacting to it certainly tomorrow. When we come back, we'll take some calls at 800-919-3776 and get into some football matters. Are the Giants closing in potentially on selecting that quarterback in the first round? More importantly, should they? And we'll hear from the Jets head coach coming up a little bit later on this hour as well. DNR, Dan and Rick on a Monday, 98.7 ESPN. Secure the seats and the memories this year from Vivid Seats, your home for every slam dunk, slap shot, and stolen base. Vivid Seats celebrates fandom with unbeatable rewards like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. With Vivid Seats rewards, you earn with every purchase. From buzzer beaters to walk-off home runs, Vivid Seats has a great selection and great prices on all the games that matter to you. Just visit VividSeats.com or you can download the app today. Vivid Seats, the official ticketing partner of ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.